Rapinda is offering free marketing.
Good afternoon, gardeners. You're listening to Garden Planet with Selena and Karen.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Beautiful summer weather we're having.
Yeah, I hope you're not frying too much.
Oh, no.
Although I think by the time this goes to air, there is supposed to be rain expected.
Can never predict.
But I know, it's usually just a shower and then steam. Yay.
Yeah.
We're in the midst of summer.
It's like a sauna yesterday, so. Thing is, I haven't really tied in our topic today with our summer weather, because it was last year that I thought of this. And so what happened last year was one of my cousins passed away last month, and we went to bury her at the Mangere Cemetery, and I was thinking of, you know, of my cousin when I was thinking of, like, how to remember her and what we do when we bury people and cemeteries. So that is
And often flowers and plants are such a nice and common and appropriate gesture for such an occasion, I think. It's nothing says it better sometimes,
yes.
Eh?
So we'll pick flowers for her grave and I was just wanting to discuss a bit more about it because it's something that happens to all of us.
And it can happen in the summertime.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't imagine there would have been like that. You know, when you think of, I've never buried anyone in my family. It's always been cremation.
Mm-hmm.
But burial is something that I would prefer, personally.
Yeah.
There's just something just that sits right with me about burial.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think of burial, you always have this image of, you know, a dark, gloomy day with black umbrellas.
Yes.
And everyone sort of hunched around a,
and it's always like cloudy and everyone's.
But hey, was it a hot day when she had her?
No, it was quite a nice sunny day, not too hot.
And there were flowers on the grave?
Yep, we bought flowers. Lots of people bought flowers from our own gardens or bought them.
Yeah. And that's a nice way to sort of cheer up the vibe.
Yeah.
And it sounds to me, after chatting about this with you, that there are a few avid green thumbs in your family. Because you mentioned, you know, one of your cousins was called, was it Rose?
No, my auntie. Yes, my auntie's, one's called Rose and one's called Lily.
Yeah, so they would have known just what to bring.
Yes.
And so that brings us to the topic really nicely. And look, yes, it is morbid, but it is a part of life.
Mm.
And you know, your cousin is now hopefully in a wonderful place.
Yes.
And, you know, what a great excuse to go out and pick or buy flowers. Mm. Like, you know, let's do that. So you're going to give us some useful tips today, aren't you, Selena?
Yes, and also I wanted to talk a bit more about cemeteries and burial places and how we remember people.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into it.
Okay. Just thinking about cemeteries around us, like I did some research, and in Auckland anyway, there's like at least 50 to 60 burial grounds, official ones.
Ranging from like large to small.
Large to small.
Yeah.
Traditionally, people used to be buried in the churchyards around their place of worship, but it's become like secular.
We basically just need a place to put corpses.
Yeah. In Auckland, anyway, the first ones were around Simon Street, right in the centre of town.
Oh, yes, yes, that is a very old cemetery.
Very old
one. Yeah, beautiful.
If you like history, you might want to wander around there and have a look. I don't know.
Quite a few war graves there.
Yeah. The largest one is Waikamete Cemetery.
I reckon, like, everyone's got a relative at some point.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't have relatives. I'm pretty sure my early settlers were all buried, being Danish and Irish. Christians, Roman Catholic. I will definitely find sites for them. And I'm pretty sure after my lockdown discoveries, I found a great-great-great-great cousin or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
So in Waikamete, I was like, I should go check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never know who you might find. The Waikamete was opened in 1886. It's the largest cemetery in New Zealand.
That's in West Auckland, for those of you that aren't familiar with Auckland.
It's in the suburb of Glen Eden. It used to be named Waikamete, but then the name got changed. I think they didn't like the morbid association because it was associated with that being the site of, you know, the largest cemetery.
Yeah.
So that... Yeah, for some reason, if you go back in history, you'll find all this.
So what was it called originally?
Oh, the whole area was just Waikamete.
Oh, the area was called Waikamete. Right, okay.
But
it's so big, it could be two suburbs.
It could. It's like a huge area.
Yeah. You need like an electric bike to get around it. I like Waikamete Cemetery.
Yeah. Originally, the... back in the day, the churches would look after their own areas. Like, you'd have Catholic graves, you'd have, like, Jewish graves, and then, I don't know, all the different denominations that there are of worshippers. But now it's like everyone's wherever.
I think the older parts of that cemetery still have their, like their... Jewish areas and their specific. Is it not like that? So it's just wherever there's an available.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's not like that now. I think back in the day it was.
That's kind of cool, and it reflects our metropolitan sort of city, doesn't it? Yeah. You could end up buried next to, I don't know.
whoever's next in line.
That's kind of beautiful.
So I did the research of. How cemeteries sort of operate in Auckland. This might vary around different parts of the world, but there's costs involved, like burial costs and digging fees and things like that.
Yeah, I know about that. just because I looked into it.
Yeah, I'm not going to say the prices on here.
It's like not something I can currently afford. let's just put it that way.
If you buy a plot or reserve a plot, it needs to be used within 60 years.
Oh.
So I did not know that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So... I think we'll be safe here. I'm expecting to live over 100. Why not?
a standard burial there allows two bodies together and up to 8 ashes be buried. So, like, couples can be buried together.
Yeah.
Or members of your family.
And if you're single... But you're expecting a... you say that it's all good.
Yeah.
I've got everything all set up. Put that on your Tinder profile.
You've got to be next to me or on top of me.
I didn't think I'd be laughing so much during this segment. Continue.
But then I scrolled down a bit and found out there is now such a thing as a natural burial.
Yes.
Which doesn't require reservation, and there's no plots as such, and you can plant trees and shrubs where you're buried.
So it's like maybe in like 10 years' time, they might open up that space for the next decomp.
Yeah.
Cool.
And there's no like headstones or markers or anything. It's all like
Very natural.
Natural, and you know where your loved one is buried by a GPS record.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, there's any headstones or things, because all trees and shrubs, of course, will grow.
Oh, my gosh!
It's kind of like, yeah, putting a forest there instead.
It's kind of like how animals would die.
Yeah, yeah.
Under a tree.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah.
Or, no, growing up rurally, they can end up dead in all sorts of places. Yeah. It's quite random. But, yeah, that's death for you. You never quite know. You could be like having a drink down at the trough and then, donk, yeah. You know, you end up in the trough. But, like, yeah, that's how nature does it. They just kind of flop on the ground or wherever.
Yeah.
And then just gradually with time, nature does its thing.
The trees mulch them.
And, yeah, it's all very natural and interesting. they don't perform like burial services. You know, I wonder if cats would, because they bury their poop. Would they be like, oh, we have to cover them up?
They often go off in little places to hide, maybe in hedges and like underneath when no one can find them when they're ready to go. Yeah, it's interesting. So with a natural burial, what they say is there's no embalming to be had for that, because, you know, chemicals used in embalming stop your body from decomposing, and you don't need that with natural burial.
I don't even understand why you need that with a unnatural.
Embalming, like, will stop the body from rotting and going off, like, well, for the funeral to view.
Generally, how the tangata whenua do it, because they always have the body out for viewing.
Yeah.
You get, I think, like 3.5 days.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And they'll put ice all around it.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any need for it. How about you just, like, drop everything.
Yeah.
Go pay your respects.
Yeah.
Visit the person and that's, you know, I just feel like we complicate.
Yeah, it is complicated. Lot, make things fancy, because you can just wrap your body up in a shroud. It doesn't need like a big fancy coffin.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is how a lot of people still do
want
that.
To be buried in a fancy varnished coffin, which is like
very expensive.
Mm.
Yeah. And I don't understand, well, this is personally, with cremation, why people would have these fancy caskets. It's all going to be burned.
Oh, yeah.
I don't quite understand that.
I know. I don't either. I mean, I like fancy things, if you're only going to see it, you can have a nice natural coffin that's just made out of, my auntie also passed away last year, as you know. And she just had a woven, it wasn't flax, it was, you know, like it looked like a basket.
Like willow or something.
Yeah, something like that. And she was a real green thumb, so she probably requested something that's, you know, not too, but it looked beautiful, like it was fine.
Yeah. A plaque can be placed there, but no, like, big, fancy, huge monuments. If you on natural,
is this in
burial.
The natural one?
Yeah.
And like, is it intended to last forever?
Say like a small plaque of, I don't know, not like a huge rock, but maybe a rock.
So, because that's nice, because I think it's always nice to go back to the place.
Yeah. Like a little
I like that. So if you ever feel like on the day that you want to go and put some flowers down, they can still do that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then there's a little sort of a rule or guideline that, if any coffins or caskets should be untreated. Like, not, they can't be made of, like, plastic. Things like that. So, that's a natural burial. Although I actually don't know many people in my circle of family and friends who've been buried naturally. That's all.
I don't know anyone that has.
Although I've known people that, you know, have died and not haven't had the body because, you know, we don't know where it is. But
That's always a weird one. Where is it?
Well, that happened to my cat. I didn't know where he went off to die.
And your friend.
Yeah, and one of my friends. And so what I did was to remember them, of course, create a garden. Even though their body's not there.
Yeah.
You can memorialise them through planting a particular type of plant. So I planted a tree and a flower. So Sox has got a clivia, which I think of as his, because I... You know.
Was there any sort of link to that?
No, not really. It was just, they're quite tough plants and they like the shady spots. So.
Okay. Yeah.
And I didn't have one at the time. And I thought, I want to do something for it.
Does Mama Cat like to hang around that tree sometimes?
Oh, no, the clivias like the flower.
Oh.
Like one of those flowers underneath the trees.
Right.
But my other loved one, that's why one of my friends, she's got a magnolia tree. So
yes.
That's what I planted to remember her by. And then it blooms about the time of her birthday. So
perfect.
So I think,
how lovely.
So that was kind of my way of remembering her.
Yeah.
Even though I don't have a plaque or anything, it's just something something I've done. Yeah, so going back to, the cemeteries, just maybe a tiny bit of history. If you recall, I said about Simon Street, and they were all, if you ever go there, it's like a city cemetery. But then the Waikamete one is not like a city one. Was on outskirts of the city at the time when it was assigned.
And, it certainly would have been in those days. It would have been away.
You get the train to go there, and that's probably why it's at that site. Because
that's crazy. Yeah, I wonder if they expected Auckland to grow that quickly. That it's just, it's now a suburb.
And so Waikamete and others like it were what is known as garden cemeteries.
Oh.
Or rural cemeteries, because it was the new style of cemetery at the time. And the very first one was in Paris, called Père Lachaise Cemetery.
Yeah.
And it opened in 1804, sorry. And they styled that after English-style gardens.
Yeah.
They wanted a place where people could go to remember their loved ones in, a garden-style setting. And that's why we have people, buried in, with trees and flowers around.
Cemeteries are very calm, most of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I think of, I've seen pictures of, with my Danish ancestors.
Yeah.
And there's quite a few sort of Danish, what they call cemeteries.
Mm.
And the Dannevirke area and around there. Yeah. And they're just like rows.
Yeah.
No trees. Oh. It's all very sort of plain.
Like a farm.
Yeah. It's basically like headstones in a paddock. I'm like, I would like to go and check it out, but I don't think I'll be lingering. Oh. whereas it's like the Waikamete, which has got lots of foliage around, and I can actually sit there and linger and just be... It's quite peaceful.
It's beautiful, and a lot of wildflowers grow there.
Mm.
It's probably got the largest wildflower habitat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You can even do guided tours and walks around there. Just, anyway,
garden cemetery?
Yeah, the garden cemetery. And then as time went on, when the garden cemeteries grew a bit crowded and everyone wanted their own headstones and things, and people thought it looked too cluttered.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said about your ancestors, then they started looking into lawn cemeteries, ancestors seem to be buried in, just rows and rows of, and then it could be easily maintained with just a big ride-on lawnmower. But the problem with those ones is then it became a bit, impersonal, and everyone's just got this.
It's really interesting because I've made a few inquiries about, where can I find this gravesite and whatnot.
Yeah.
And some of them are
Yep, row 32.
Yeah, it's like a parking lot.
You know, it's like, okay.
And those lawn cemeteries have some strict rules about what you can put there, like for maintenance purposes. They don't want people leaving flowers there and tell you, like, well, if you do, they'll get be disposed of within 2 weeks. And can't put pot plants there and you can't do this and you can't do that because, you know, the lawnmowers will have to mow the lawn.
Mm.
It is kind of a bit sad that it's come to that, and then that has its own sort of problems.
Yeah.
But people think, oh, it looks nice and neat and tidy. So, so that's a lawn cemetery, although they take up a lot of space.
Mm.
Yeah.
I know. What to do with all the dead ones.
Yeah. But then might talk about going on to, like, when people get cremated, which is quite different from burial, and where to scatter ashes.
Oh, awesome. Are you going to talk about that?
Maybe we might go to break things up a bit to our plan of the week, because it's one of those plants that is very giving. And it is one that I kept to put on my family's graves.
Awesome. So. Oh, well, that's interesting. It's one that I actually picked. So we'll get into that.
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. You'd spend about an hour chatting with a flower, and here's the tale the flower told. Quote, I'm a lonely little petunia in an onion patch.
An onion patch.
Yes, an onion.
Alpha.
Okay.
The leak is
the, I think I said humble last week. But this week it is the humble Agapanthus.
Yay!
I've just got to log on.
Is she humble though?
So it's just so fascinated by your cemetery speak. Yes, so the Agapanthus. Now, everyone would know this plant, if not by name. They would be familiar with it. It's on a lot of our roadsides.
Yeah.
They seem to, I don't know if they're still planting it along the motorways, but we'll see the, I like to refer to it as lilac blue and white
gorgeous
flowers, the Agapanthus. It is a robust herbaceous perennial consisting of basal linear leaves. Now, do you know what a basal leaf is?
I kind of think it's, because it's basal.
Yeah.
A base.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The reason this is, I just wanted to mention this. This is really good for plants that have these because it shades the root area really nicely and gives them, so, which is probably one of the reasons why this plant is so robust. That's the leaves. And it has a rhizome used as a storage organ from which numerous tuberous roots grow.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few, if you've ever dug one up, yeah. And so, yeah, then it's a bit similar to the ginger root.
Yeah.
That plant.
It's very thick
and
fleshy.
The begonia rhizome.
Yeah.
So rhizomus begonia, if you've ever seen those.
Yeah.
The actual name, Agapanthus, is derived from Greek, agape, meaning love, and anthos, meaning flower, which is... Not that surprised me because I was like, most people go Agapanthus invasive species,
no
out of control.
It's the
you never hear like much love,
the love towards flower.
It. But the very pretty pink cultivar of the African lily really encapsulates this meaning. It's so pretty. I haven't seen it in New Zealand, but I found it online, and it's
pink
so
ones.
Pretty. A pink Agapanthus.
Some
Agapanthus are commonly known as lily of the Nile or African lily, but they aren't actually lilies.
Do they come from Africa?
Southern Africa.
Okay.
Yeah. And they have become naturalised in a number of places around the world since then, ranging from Australia to Mexico to Jamaica, but like all over the place.
And number one top city, Auckland.
The Agapanthus praecox species here in New Zealand has become quite the invasive intruder, and control measures are actively being looked into. The Agapanthus borer insect, which is said to act with impressive ferocity, is one such biological control showing much promise. So we'll see what comes of that. Yeah, so, like, they're using, like, this insect to, like, host them, and then they end up dying. But I always get a bit, like, concerned about that sort of thing, because, like, it starts off as that plant, and next thing you know, your actual lilies are being attacked as well. I don't know. Well, I'm sure they'll do their, you know, due diligence on it. As the growth of Agapanthus is discouraged in New Zealand, I won't be offering any gardening tips on this one, guys. You don't really need to do anything anyway.
I would suggest you keep cutting the flowers, because the flowers are gorgeous.
Yeah, totally.
Use them.
It really is a delicate balance knowing what to encourage and what to discard. Of course, our native bush is precious and is vulnerable to invasive plants, so it is important we be careful with what escapes our property. But who enjoys seeing sprayed roadside verges?
No.
Does this look better than a swathe of lovely wild flowers such as the Agapanthus? I think our roadsides would be the poorer without such a summer display. And our birds and bees undoubtedly appreciate the additional cover, and not to mention the nectar. In Britain, for instance, they actually treasure their hedgerows, which were once... They went through a phase of, oh, you know, especially the gorse ones.
Yeah, they didn't like them.
And they are a pain. We had a few hedges on our farm and, you know, if they were ever trimmed, you know, even the thorns would even go through gumboots sometimes.
Ouch.
Like, it was like,
yeah,
a bit of a menace. But they're recognising their contribution to the ecosystem, because they provide, they harbour, like, bird nests and
habitat.
An array of animals. And, actually quite useful in that sense. Definitely some food for thought there, guys. So, yeah, Agapanthus.
Okay.
That's our plant of the week.
Yeah.
And a great one to, as you said...
Remember your
loved one. Well, you know, it's the love flower.
Yeah.
So, and it's robust. So if you popped it in a jar or something, it would probably do all right for a while.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have any problems finding one.
No.
I don't think there'd be any issues if you cut it down.
Stalks are nice and long, so they're quite good for vases or wherever you want to stick them.
Yeah.
You just want to cut them. So Agapanthus, lovely plants to put on the gravesite. I was going to mention roses is one of the most popular memorial plants that everyone sort of knows that already. But then another common one is poppies. They've just become associated with memorialising our loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to make a memorial garden, use the symbols of your loved ones, what they enjoyed the most, I think. It's very personal to you, I think, what you remember them by.
Mm.
And maybe have a seat or somewhere you can sit. So if you're creating a garden, I think places to sit and just reflect are important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's some good tips there. And thanks for sharing all that. It's been a tough time for you, Selena.
Karen,
cool.
I've forgotten one thing.
Yeah?
Oh, scattering
What's
of
that?
Ashes.
Oh, yeah?
There's Eden Garden in Auckland that allows you to scatter ashes in the garden.
Oh.
And to have memorial plaques, because a lot of parks and gardens, they don't allow that.
Oh.
So that's one to look into for
that. Okay, and that's Glen Eden?
No, that's Mount Eden.
Oh, Mount Eden.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's worth knowing. You've done a lot of research.
Oh, well, just...
It's worth knowing this stuff.
I think you've kind of scratched the surface. There's all this deep stuff that I thought,
Well, it's good to know, and good to know these things sometimes, because when that, you know, the event happens... It's good to be prepared and sort of... Because your mind sort of goes into... Mine gets a bit jumbled and I can't think straight sometimes. So, it's good to do the... research beforehand, I think.
Yeah.
Put a bit of thought into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even help your loved ones out by saying, hey, I love Agapanthus.
Yeah.
I want you to cover my coffin in them. Thank you very much. I mean,
In India, they have the marigolds.
Oh, the marigolds are a big one. Yes. And South America as well in parts.
But here I think it's Agapanthus petals. Beautiful.
Beautiful. All right.
All right, gardeners, well, happy gardening, and, you know, just have some thoughts about your loved ones that have passed, and,
yeah. Yeah. awesome, guys. Take care. Ka kite.
Ka kite. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.